What is going on, everybody? Welcome back. You're listening to the Introverted Nerd Watches. I am your host, Reese, and I'm back for Black Lightning. And for this episode, I watched season 2, episode 12, The Book of Secrets, chapter 2, Just and Unjust. And I got problems with it, y'all. I'm sorry, but yeah. I don't know. This episode, okay. It wasn't a terrible episode. I didn't hate it, but I see problems coming. And I hope that I'm wrong. The problems have started a few episodes ago, a while ago, but they're starting to take root. And, you know, the whole Principal Lowry thing, you know, a lot of things that I was hoping we're going to get, that we were going to get deeper into, that were going to be a little bit, meatier, are sort of just, it feels like they're kind of rushing through, which was, I was scared this was going to happen, that they're just going to rush, because now we're in the, this is the 12th episode. There are 16 episodes this season, so we have 4 episodes left. And I feel like there's a lot to get into in these last 4 episodes. You know, they have to wrap up some of the stuff that they have from earlier in the season that had just got dropped. And they have to, you know, finish the season. They have to wrap up this season in a good way, satisfying way. Well, it doesn't have to be satisfying. It can be whatever, but they have to wrap this stuff up. And I feel like this is where they're trying to start wrapping that stuff up, and they started in the wrong way. Before I get into it, please subscribe to the podcast. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for the Introverted Nerd Watches and click that subscribe button. If you're on Apple Podcasts, leave me a 5-star review. And I will be forever grateful for your kindness and, I don't know, whatever. Just subscribe to the podcast, like I said. So let's get into Just and Unjust. So Khalil's funeral is coming up. His mama can't afford it. Okay. One of the good things, I'm such a terrible person, but one of the good things about Khalil dying, you know, aside from the fact that I hated his guts, is that we won't have to see his mother anymore. That woman is a terrible actress. You know, she barely had any lines in this episode, so I feel like I'm being really, really mean, but goddamn, she's a bad actress. And it feels really, I don't know, you know, it's the way she speaks, you know, it feels like this, like, she's from, like, a 1940s movie, like, she feels like a stereotype. Like, okay, the way she speaks feels very stereotypical, and I'm not sure. I think I said this a few episodes ago. I'm not sure whether that's the way they're directing her to speak or whether that's just the way she speaks, because if that's the way she speaks, then I'm very sorry. But it's like, it's this very, like, beaten down sort of Black woman, you know, I's a maid. I feel like I could hear her say, like, I's a maid, and, you know, I can't read it. I just feel like that's the kind of stuff that woman could be saying in this show. And just something about her just rubs me the wrong way. You know, just being a bad actress, because Anissa is a bad actress. The woman that plays Anissa is a bad actress, but it's different. So I'm sorry to the woman that plays Khalil's mom. If I'm making fun of your voice, it's not, Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm a terrible person. let me move on from her. Because she was barely in this episode. She's at the funeral and that's all very sad. But so we start, I don't know how, like, there's no sense of how much time has lapsed in this season, let alone in the past two episodes. I know there's the planning of Khalil's funeral. His mother can't afford to pay for it, which she tells Jennifer. She can't, his mother says she can't even afford to pay her rent, let alone pay for his funeral. So she's got problems. And Jennifer is obviously in a very bad place because she loved Khalil. And Len and Anissa are at the grocery store in a grocery store parking lot talking about Jennifer. And this is the start of the problems that I have with the Pierces. So they're talking and Anissa is telling her mother that she thinks that it's good to give Jennifer some space, you know, because Jennifer said that she would like, you know, some space to, she wants time to herself. She wants to be by herself right now. But Lynn is saying, no, Jennifer doesn't, you know, she doesn't need to be by herself. Being alone just sort of promotes depression and, you know, she's doing that thing. I will be fair and say that both arguments are very valid. You know, Lynn has a point. You know, you can't, Jennifer is still a child. You know, she's still, 16, 17 years old. She is a minor. Her parents get to make decisions for her. So, you know, she's doing what a parent would do. I completely get it. Anissa also has a point. You know, she tells her mother that sometimes you know what's right for us, but sometimes it's, you know, we know what's right for ourselves. You don't always have the answers, you know, and we know. And so that is fine. The problem that I have is that Lynn also goes on to talk to Jeff about, you know, the problems that Jennifer is having later in the episode. And it's like, okay, you know, it's two parents discussing their child. That's what you're supposed to do. She has a lot going on, but they never talk to Jennifer, which is, I think, the problem, which is the problem that I've had with them for a long time, the fact that they never talk to her. Why are you talking to Anissa? You know, on the one hand, I get it. You know, she's the older sister. You know, she's worried. Everybody is obviously worried about Jennifer. So you go in and talk about this stuff. But the fact that they never go on to talk to Jennifer about any of this is so frustrating because it makes them seem like bad parents who didn't learn anything. Jennifer told you she ran away. She chose to run away because of the way she was being treated. Now, I have problems with her decisions and the conclusions that she came to that made her run away because I continuously said I didn't think that what they showed was bad enough for her to run away, but I'm going to give it to them. You know, she's 16, whatever. She made an impulsive decision. She ran away with her boyfriend, blah, blah, blah. But the fact that nothing has changed at all, the fact that her boyfriend dies, you know, in front of her, he dies in front of her after, you know, being murdered. She knows that he was, you know, basically murdered. And the fact that her parents aren't talking to her, that they're talking to each other, they're talking to Anissa, but they're not discussing this with Jennifer, is just like, okay, do you want me to think that the Pierces are bad parents? Or do you want me to, you know, like, is this bad writing? Is this like just sort of an oversight by the writers? Or is this just how they want me to see them? Because I can't tell. I don't know which way, you know, I'm supposed to go from here. So I'm just going to, I can't give them the benefit of the doubt anymore because I have problems with the writing on this show. So I have to just go with my gut and say that, okay, this is how they want me to see them. This is just not good. And the Pierces are just bad parents. So Anissa and Lynn get attacked at the grocery store. Anissa gets shot in the back. these men attempt to kidnap Lynn, and who is it? Bill Duke. What's his name? Odell. What's it? I think his name is Odell. I called him Bill Duke throughout my notes. But Bill Duke rolls up, and he takes out his giant ass revolver, and he takes these guys out. You know, Anissa gets shot in the back, but she's fine because she inhaled. Come on. Okay. She says later on that she must have instinctively inhaled when she heard the gunshots go off. So that's how the bullet didn't go through her. It only, you know, just basically slammed into her back, and it gave her it wounded her a little bit, but it didn't go that deep into her skin. So yeah, Bill Duke is the best. I love him. I'm so mad that he's just sort of been wasted out there, that they finally gotten back to this whole green light ASA baby thing, not ASA baby, but the green light babies, the ASA thing, you know, whatever. He's back. I like him. He's great. I love that he just doesn't put up with Lynn's bullshit, because she is on some bullshit. She has been on some bullshit for a while now. And they've made me like hate the Pierces. I don't understand how do you do this on your show? How do you make me hate our protagonists? How do you make me not like them? But that's what this show has done. And they haven't made, like, I don't like any of them right now. Just all of them are getting on my fucking nerves. The Pierces, just whatever. Let's just keep it moving, because I'm starting to get frustrated. They go to Gambi because obviously they can't go to any doctors, because Lynn is a doctor. So she treats Anissa. They talk to Gambi about why Bill Duke was there. And he's like, well, he finds out that, you know, there's no like listening devices or anything around the house. So he must just be following Lynn, like tailing her everywhere. So Gambi suggests that Lynn goes to talk to him, ask him why he's following her, what's going on, all that. So, you know, Jefferson disagrees with that, but Lynn is on some like, no, you don't speak for me, I'll do what I want to do. And of course she does, because that's what Lynn has been doing all season, not really listening to anybody. And she's gonna get herself embarrassed because Bill Duke is not here for that shit. So she goes to talk to him, and this is so great. This is probably my favorite part of the episode. So Bill Duke has like his white flunky, you know, some lowly ASA agent driving him around in a golf cart through this ASA facility. It is great. So he's riding down the hall, looking at his phone, not paying any attention to what's going on. And Lynn walks out into the path. And she's got her whole, you know, I'm Lynn attitude. I'm going to ask some questions and I want some answers type thing she got going on. And so she comes at him, you know, she asks him why he's been following her and, you know, what's going on. Have you been, you know, she says, have you been following my family? You know, like, what the hell is going on? And he cannot even be bothered to even answer her question or look up from his phone. So he says to her, without looking at her, I thought that you would thank me for saving your life. And Lynn is like, well, yeah, I do thank you. And, you know, I just want to know what's going on. And he asks about Anissa, and Lynn is a terrible liar because she sort of stutters her way through saying Anissa wasn't actually shot. She faked fainting you know, pretending that she was shot. And he looks at her. He finally looks at her with such disdain and just says, "Fortunate." And then he goes on to tell her that, you know, she's been an asset to him, you know, to the facility, to, you know, to what they're doing with the Greenlight babies and everything, but that she is a liar and he does not have time to put up with her lies right now. And he tells his little flokey driver to drive him to where they're going. And Lynn is standing there with her mouth open, embarrassed, because she couldn't say shit to it because he knows that she's lying and she knows that she's lying. That bullshit story about Anissa fake fainting so that she, you know, and wasn't actually shot. Like, I don't know whether he knows that, you know, they're metas, whether Anissa and the rest of the family are metas, but he does know that Lynn is not telling the whole truth and he's just not going to indulge her. He's just going to say, whatever, you know, this is bullshit. You can come up here with your attitude, you know, you can do whatever, but I run this shit right here. I so love him. Bill Duke is so great. And the just the expression on his face, the I'm so bored right here with you right now is it's my favorite thing. I love this scene. And it was like a 2-minute scene, probably not even that, but it was my favorite part of the episode because the rest of the episode really frustrated me. So another thing that's going on is that Tobias needs Dr. Jace to open the old pods. You know, Todd talks to him and Todd is giving, Tobias seems to be suspicious of Todd now. Like, there's this thing going on where I think that they're making Tobias like truly crazy, because we saw, was it this episode or the last episode where he was talking to his sister's portrait again? And so what, I don't know, I feel like they're really going the route of Tobias is really going, it's not just he's you know, a psychopath like crazy killer, but now he's truly going like crazy, you know, not in this reality type thing. And it's, I don't know, that's just sort of the vibe that I was getting from this, from the past 2 episodes. So Todd talks to him and he gives him whatever information that he, about the movement of the pods, what they're going to do with the pods and everything. And Todd, you know, Todd has this new confidence about him when he's talking to Tobias. So he's, you know, he sits down and he crosses his legs when he's talking to Tobias. Tobias does the he does the Bill Duke with him, and he doesn't even, Tobias is reading a book, so he doesn't look up from his book or even look at Todd. But once, you know, Todd gives him the information, Tobias is just ignoring him. So Todd gets up and he walks away. And when he's walking away, Tobias looks at him and he gives him this look like, you know, like he doesn't trust what's going on. Like he thinks Todd is up to something. So, yeah, I don't know what that's about. But, you know, it's just like a really big change from, you know, the dynamic that I liked that they had in the last episode where, you know, Tobias is getting a new crew, to this where he's suspicious of Todd now for some reason, and we don't really know why. So who else? So Perenna is back in this episode. She almost gets kidnapped, and we find out that the kidnappers are these Markovians, these dudes from Markovia. They tried to kidnap Lynn. And then they tried to kidnap Perenna. They know Perenna is a psychic. So they tried to kidnap Lynn because they have the meta program going on over there and they want to use her for it. I don't know why they tried to kidnap Perenna. You know, nobody ever says anything about that. And well, she doesn't tell anybody. She sort of freezes them on the ground. She takes them into the place in her mind or in their minds where she makes them feel like they're freezing. And she just picks up her grocery bag and keeps on walking. But I don't know why these guys are just sitting at the grocery stores waiting for, like, scoping out the grocery stores, waiting for these people to come by to kidnap them. I don't know what these Markovians want from Perenna. Because it seems like they have Metas over there already. Like they had their own, you know, sort of Meta program that Dr. Jace was working on before. So I don't know why. Like, I get why they would want to take Lynn. They need a new doctor or whatever. I don't know why they would want to take Perenna. Like, what? I don't know. And I don't even know how they know about Perenna. Like, I don't know what's going on with that. Maybe we'll get more information about that later, but they have not been really good about connecting everything. So Lynn does this thing later when she's talking to Jeff about Jennifer, and they're talking about sending her back to school. And Lynn does the thing again where she says, you know, she wants to talk to Perenna because she wants to at least let Jennifer go to school so that she can be normal again. And Jeff calls her out on that. And it's like, come on, Lynn, are we back to this normal thing? And she tells Jeff, she makes like a sly remark about how she, you know, she's regretting some of her decisions. And Jeff is like questioning her about that. And he eventually like confronts her later on because they get interrupted. He confronts her when she's about to take a drink. Like, are we going to are they going to address this drinking thing that Lynn has going on? Because it doesn't feel like they're going to. I mean, she was drinking like really like hard liquor, like vodka, bottles of vodka, getting sick in front of Jennifer earlier in the season. And, you know, in this episode, she's drinking wine by herself. And like, not that there's anything wrong with her drinking wine, but this is just, they focus a lot on the fact that she's been drinking. So I want somebody to say something about it. Like, nobody notices that she's, you know, she's been heavy into that alcohol lately, but not yet. So I guess we'll see. But they talk later. And, you know, Jeff is trying to confront her about, you know, her whole saying that she wants Jennifer to be normal and that she's regretting her life decisions. And she does make it clear. When Jeff is trying to talk, she just keeps going, I'm not getting into this right now. I don't want to talk about this. This is not happening right now. And it's like, what, really, Lynn? Like, how do you say what you said and then just say, nope, I'm cutting off all communication. I don't want to talk about this. But okay, that's what she does. And before Jeff walks away, she tells him, you know, she does regret some of her choices, but she doesn't regret marrying him. And it's like, why are we going back to this? They didn't have to get back together. I don't know whether they were just divorced or whether they were separated in the first season, but they weren't together. She does not have to be with him. She has her own place. Like, I don't understand. The children are almost, Anissa is an adult, and Jennifer is, you know, she's older. I don't understand why we're going back to this part. Like, I don't need them to have a perfect relationship, but I don't want to retread the same things we went over last season. It's annoying, and I don't like it. So I actually made a mistake. They do talk to Jennifer, but that's because Jennifer goes to talk to her parents, and she tells Jeff, you know, that she's ready to get her revenge on Tobias, and that she, you know, get her a uniform. She just wants to get out there and get revenge. So basically Jeff tells her, with great power comes great responsibility. You don't want revenge. And, you know, don't do that. But, you know, he gives her that whole thing, and it's like, yeah, we get it. You know, she's not happy about it, but apparently they decide that, we don't see on screen, but we see in the next scene, or, you know, later in the episode, that she goes back to school. So Jennifer is back in school where she wants to be. Even though Jeff is the one that, you know, didn't want her to go to school. He didn't want to take the chance that, of her not being able to control her powers in school. And she does have a few close calls where, she almost goes off. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with the whole school thing. If she stays in school or if what happened in this episode means that she's like suspended or expelled or something. Who the hell knows? So while all this is going on, Anissa decided to go back to her Robin Hood vigilante ways. And when she's at the clinic, she treats a woman that was obviously physically abused. And she doesn't want to, you know, she doesn't want to say anything about it. She doesn't want to report what happened to her. She lies about falling down the steps and all that. And Anissa was making me a little bit uncomfortable with the way that she was trying to question this woman. It was almost getting to the point where it was kind of getting aggressive. And when she was asking questions, I'm like, hold on, Anissa, like, you work in a free clinic. You should know this. You should know not to question victims this way. You should let this woman set the pace. But Anissa knows best, and that's what we know about Anissa. She always knows best until she doesn't, until she gets her ass kicked. And she does take an L in this episode, and I was happy about it because she needs to take some L's. So she goes to talk to one of the nurses, and she finds out that this is a regular thing with this woman. They never put her into the system because the guy that's beating her up is from the 100, he's like a leader of the 100 gang, and you know, they don't want to die, so she comes in, they treat her, and then they just let it go away. They don't want any trouble with him, which, you know, Anissa is like upset about that, and I completely get it. It's like, yeah, you know, it's upsetting, but what do you do when your neighborhood is run by the 100? The police are so corrupt. Like, what the hell do you do? So this gives Anissa the idea. She learned earlier in the episode that, you know, Khalil's mom couldn't pay for his funeral. So she goes to, this is so like the wrong thing to do. She goes to confront the 100 gang member, and he says that he knows who she is. He recognizes who she is. They call her Blackbird in this persona where she's in all black. And so she goes up to him and she chokes him up against the wall. She bangs him up against the wall. She beats him up a little bit. And she tells him to keep his hands off of women and everything. And I just want to say no, 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 no. This is not the right thing to do. She went there to scare him, you know, basically trying to scare him straight, you know, beat his ass so he won't ever touch his girlfriend again. But it worked out for her in this episode because I don't know, because that's what everybody thinks they can do to an abuser. Like, oh, yeah, if I go and beat up this person's abuser, they'll stop abusing, you know, the person that I'm trying to protect and everything will be fine. And it's like, no. That is the wrong thing to do. That person will take out their anger and frustration about what happened to them on the person that they were already abusing. She actually put that woman in more danger by doing what she did. Because the woman walked in. Her name's Monique. Monique walks in and she sees what's happening. And Anissa says, get out of here, sis. But she stands there for a second and she hears what Anissa is saying. And he knows that she hears what Anissa is saying. So like, yeah, she put, like, if this is real life, if this is like some real shit, she put that woman in more danger by doing what she did. So anyway, so she beats him up and then she drops him on the floor, and then she grabs up the money that he was counting off the table and she tries to run out, but he sends out the signal. And so all of his boys come out and they start, you know, she starts fighting them. She gets the best of them at first, but then she gets sprayed in, She gets sprayed in the face with like mace or something like that, or pepper spray. And then she proceeds to get her ass beat. And she gets saved the last second by doing her thunderclap. But I'm like, no, that should give people the... That should let people know who she is, actually. Like, if you couldn't already tell that this was Anissa by the fact that you can see most of her face and you can hear her voice, the fact that she's doing Thunder's, like, she's using the same powers that Thunder has, it should tell you that you either have a new meta that has the same powers as Thunder, or, Thunder is Blackbird. Like, I just... The fact that nobody can figure this out is like, come on, you guys. This is silly. Like, this is like really basic shit that I'm like, yeah, like you, and I don't know, maybe this is just a CW thing, but I can't give it a pass. I really cannot. So, Anissa gets, you know, she gets really hurt. She goes to see Gambi, and we find out that she passed out overnight while she was healing, and she tells Gambi that she, you know, she's doing everything that Jeff told her not to do, which is like, okay, I wanted there to be some acknowledgement of the fact that her, what she was doing, her whole Blackbird routine is wrong. Like, she's doing the wrong thing. And just because she's stealing from drug dealers doesn't make what she's doing right. She's stealing a little bit of money from drug dealers. None of them are going to jail, so they're still selling their drugs around the neighborhood. She's like, she's not doing anything but taking some of their money, and they're going back to, you know, they're mad that their money is missing, but they can still go back and make more money. So, like, yeah, what she's doing is dead wrong. And so Gambi tells her, gives her the whole like, your family wants you saved, blah blah blah. And I guess that means that she's going to stop this now, but who the hell knows with Anissa? She always makes bad decisions. So, back at school, at school for the first time, like, in a long time. Like, when was the last episode we were at school? They were at school. I think it was Master Lowry. And that was, like, how many episodes ago was that? I don't even know. Let me look that up. How many episodes ago was Master Lowry? Which episode was that? Master Lowry was season 2, episode 3. So they must have been at the school after that too. I don't know. Whatever. It was a bad episode. So they're back at school. Jennifer is getting all this love from all the students. You know, she's the queen of, what's that school called? It's been so long since they've been at the school that I can't even remember what the school is called. She's back at school. Everybody's hugging her and loving her. And there's a memorial to Khalil, which I'm calling bullshit on so many levels. First of all, I called bullshit at first when I was on Twitter. I was like, Master Lowry let you put up this memorial to Khalil in this school? Really? So I was happy later on in the episode where he was actually having it taken down. But the fact that all the students put up the memorial to Khalil after what he did just doesn't make any sense to me. And this is where, from this point on, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, what's happening with Jennifer, like, none of this, it doesn't make sense. Nope, it doesn't. So, the memorial is up. Jennifer is, you know, she's happy to see it, but she gets upset when she sees, like, the janitors or whoever taking it down because Principal Lowry told them to take it down. So, you know, her eyes start lighting up a little bit, but she controls herself. And then she puts up a memorial to him in the middle of the hallway. And then she does this, like, speech. She's doing a protest Principal Lowry comes down the hall and he, you know, Jennifer is sitting on the floor surrounded by, you know, the memorial to Khalil. And he tells her, you know, hey, get up. You can't do this in the hall. And he starts talking about the student handbook and you can't, you know, you can't do this in the hall. You know, read your student handbook. You'll know that, you know, this is against the rules. And she starts, she does this thing where she's going, you can't, you know, you can't make us forget him. Khalil made, she, you know, she's basically pleading Khalil's case. Like, he made some mistakes, and all the other students are around. They have their cameras out and, you know, they're recording this whole thing. So, she goes, you know, she goes, you just want to take this down because you don't like Khalil and you're racist. And I'm like, okay, whoa, where, okay. So they named an episode Master Lowry. We know what kind of principal he is. He's a zero tolerance type of principal. I don't know how she made the leap from you're taking down a memorial to Khalil to, you know, you don't want it up because you don't like him and you're racist. This just, it's a logical leap for me, for the character. As an audience, I completely get it. You know, he's on some bullshit. But as a character in this show, Jennifer doesn't know anything about Principal Lowry. You know, she knows whatever she heard from Jeff, I guess, but we never see her hearing any of that. And the fact that they have me out here agreeing with Principal Lowry is some bullshit, and I don't like it. He rightly says Khalil was a gang member and he attacked the school. Where do they put up memorials to people who attack schools? Come on. Like, you don't go to a school, you know, a student, you can't. And nowhere in any reality are they letting students put up a memorial to another student that attacked students at the school. What the, what is going on here? It doesn't make any sense. It's stupid. So she starts going on this whole diatribe about how Black Lives Matter, and it, you know, she starts talking about, if you were in Khalil's position, and she's saying this to all the students, if you were in Khalil's position and you had the chance to walk again, wouldn't you make some, you know, decisions the way that he made for any chance that you could take to walk? And it's like, come on, Jennifer, like, I get it, you're hurting, but this doesn't make any sense. And I'm not on her side in this case, because I'm not. You know, you can't just throw out Black Lives Matter and have me agree with everything that she's saying. This is some bullshit. And this is the problem I have with this show, because they want to hit all of these, like, points, like these major points that come up in Black society. Like, last week it was the parking lot Patricia thing, where, you know, the racist white woman that called the police on Jennifer. And this week it's Black Lives Matter and, you know, you don't care about us. And it's like, they could have made this point throughout the season by having things happen at the school, but they chose to ignore all of that. And then they come back to this now and it's like, I don't understand. Like, you can't, no, you don't get to come back and talk about Black Lives Matter and just act like you're making a profound point, because Principal Lowry is actually right in this case. Like, you know, Jennifer is not on the right side right now. But they go on to make Principal Lowry the absolute worst, because he has Jennifer taken away by security. And then Jefferson walks up and he's telling all the students to get up and go to class, and he tries to get Jefferson to help. And Jefferson is like being petty, and he's like, well, you know, that seems like a job for the principal, and he walks away. And so, you know, Principal Lowry is like, you know, he can't, they go away from the moment, but they come back later to Jefferson walking in his office and saying, you know, how come you didn't tell me that you had my daughter taken away by security? And then they go on this whole thing. Principal Lowry says, you know, he had her taken away by security and he might suspend her or even worse. And Jefferson is trying to reason with him and say, you know, suspending her or kicking her out of school is not going to get you the result you want. And then Lowry does this whole, it's basically the white guy on Twitter argument, because he makes the whole, you know, this whole argument about how Jefferson thinks he had a good life because he's a white guy, and that's the most racist thing he could do, because his parents were drug addicts and he watched his mother die, his parents die, and he lived on the streets eating dog food, and he doesn't feel bad for any of the students because, you know, he's a white guy, so he should just get, it's just this whole like white guy diatribe. And Jefferson just walks out. He's like, okay, good talk. And he just walks out of the room. And it's like, why do we have to do all this? We know Principal Lowry is bad. We get it. But you didn't earn any of this. You just made, you just went from making him a zero tolerance principal to just a weird racist white guy who doesn't care about the student, who's actually resentful of the black students in this school. And it's just like, come on, like, aren't we all better than this? Aren't we all smart enough to, like, they never have a message behind any of this stuff. They just want to spout, they just want to get this stuff in because they want to hit these culture points. And it's just like, it's not good. So, what's her name? Anissa and Grace. So, Anissa and Grace are together. Apparently, they're serious enough for Anissa to have a key to Grace's apartment now. And when did they get so serious? Like, the whole, the fact that they're even together is like, is just a huh for me. Like, I don't understand why they're together. They, it doesn't seem like they really resolved anything. Grace said in that episode, you know, you can't keep running in and out of my life. You know, I don't want to do this anymore. And I thought it was over, but then they come back and they're suddenly together and it's kind of serious. Okay. So we find out that there are Black Lightning and Thunder comic books. Whatever. I don't even care about any of this. So what happens with Grace is that she's with Anissa and she starts having a flare up of her her powers again, like her skin starts changing again. And she tells Anissa that she, you know, she can't control herself when she's around her. And they have this little argument in the park. Not really an argument. Grace just runs away. And then we find out later that she packed all her stuff and she left the apartment. So Grace is gone. Who knows where she went? Yeah, Grace is gone. She has powers she can't tell Anissa about. Neither of them tell each other about their powers. And it's just, who knows what's going to happen with them? I'm just so tired of all of this. And the last thing that happens is that Bill Duke goes to see Dr. Jace and he tells her that he wants, because of the Markovians, he wants to move the pod babies or the green light babies, and he needs her help. And she says that, you know, you're going to need both me and Lynn so that we all have to work together. And so he agrees to that. And Lynn, he tells Lynn about it. And Lynn doesn't want to do it. She calls Dr. Jace crazy. And he's telling her, basically, this is going to happen whether you help or not. So you can either get on board or, you know, go back to being a regular doctor. I don't know what she what she's going to do. But she's going to do it. She's going to work with Dr. Jace again. And Tobias wants to work with Dr. Jace to open the Masters of Disaster pods, because it's some really old tech that Todd can't figure out. And so everything is sort of coming together. Like, all of these pods are coming together. Tobias is working on the Masters of Disaster. Who knows what's going to happen with them? And the end of the episode is the funeral. The family goes to the funeral of it, and it's so weird because they have a whole memorial up to Khalil in school. You know, the kids all seem to be okay with it and support Khalil for some reason. But at the funeral, not one student from that school showed up. Like, usually when somebody young dies is when you see a ton of people. Now, maybe they couldn't afford the extras. They couldn't afford to have extras at the funeral. But it was just so bizarre to have a memorial at school and not have any students from the school show up. It was just a bunch of old aunties and his mom and the Pierces at the funeral. So whatever. And the episode ends with Jennifer talking to Khalil's casket and basically promising him that she's going to put Tobias in the ground too. And, you know, she's going to avenge him. And this all happens while Bill Duke is looking on at Jennifer from, you know, a distance away. So he is still following the Pierces. And that is all, you guys. That was an episode. So I assume that Principal Lowry is not going to be, like, I already said this earlier in the season, that Principal Lowry was going to, he wasn't going to be around for that long. I thought we'd be dealing with him for more of the season and that there would be a buildup to this moment, but no. So Jeff will be principal of that high school again, and the ASA and Tobias are about to cross paths again, which is interesting, I guess. I want to see what these Masters of Disaster are going to do because they were prisoners from Leavenworth Prison. So they were already murderers and, you know, just bad people to begin with. Now they have these meta human powers. So we'll see what happens with that. If Tobias can even control these people. And, yeah, we'll see what happens with Jennifer because she is on a revenge mission now. So she's going to be out looking for Tobias. And I mean, that should be interesting, right? Anyway, I'm done with this episode, you guys. If you want to talk to me about this episode or any other episode, follow me on the socials. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at NerdyPods. I live tweet all of this stuff every week. You can use the hashtag NerdyWatch and I will see and you can join me and we can talk about all this stuff together. You can follow me personally on Twitter. I'm at the Ms. Introvert. On Instagram, I'm at the Introverted Nerd. And like the Facebook page at facebook.com/theintrovertednerd. And if you would like to send me some feedback through the emails, you can send it to theintrovertednerd@gmail.com. All of this stuff will be in the podcast description. So just click on that and you get links and all that to everything. You guys, this season is just, it's bumming me out. I hate this. I don't want to come on here and shit on this show every week, but it has not been good for a while now. But on the plus side, I don't know if I said this on last week's episode, but the show has been renewed for a third season. So they can recover from this second season. Well, I don't know. Recover. We've got 4 more episodes. So I have an open mind. I'm not going in like straight up hating everything. So we will see what happens. So until the next episode, you guys, later.